Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
Verse number 23 through Acts chapter 21. And we are looking at Paul's third missionary journey. How many missionary journeys have Paul went on so far that we have looked at?
Two.
Amen. Amen. All right. So, since we have looked at Paul's first two missionary journeys, now we want to look at his third missionary journey. And we pick that up beginning with chapter 18, beginning with verse number 23. It says, "And having spent some time there, he departed and passed successively through the Galatian region and Pygia, strengthening all the disciples." All right, and so this, he's launching out on his third missionary journey. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, and an Alexandrian by birth, an elegant man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Oh, my Lord. So we got a fireball preacher. I mean, this guy here, he could say it. I mean, he knew how to preach, but he just didn't have enough content. He didn't have an updated message. He had an old message, because he was still preaching baptism, the repentance of John. He was preaching John's baptism, which was the baptism of repentance. It was not necessarily focusing on Christ. It was more or less focusing on repentance, going back to the old covenant. So he was preaching an old, outdated message. God had made a change, but he was still in the old covenant. And God had came, and Jesus done died on the cross, done instituted the new covenant, but he's still preaching the old covenant. Now, that's very important. That's very important, because when we come to chapter 19, you're going to see that there is a problem once we come to chapter 19. The Bible says, though, that thank God, that God had a couple, a Bible teaching couple, Priscilla and Aquila, grabbed him and pulled him aside. And listen, this says mightily right here. Whenever you see people misguided, don't Don't just go back home and talk about them. Whenever you see people are kind of out of line, don't just go back home and put them down and run them down in the church. Take them aside privately and counsel with them and get them back on track. That's what Priscilla and Aquila did. Priscilla and Aquila, they pulled them aside. And don't just, a lot of times, you know, we use prayer as a cop-out. Well, we're just going to have to pray for him because he sure don't know what he's talking about. But we're just going to have to pray for him. Well, if you know what you're talking about, then you need to go and help him so he'll know what he's talking about because he thinks that he's doing a good thing here. See, and that's one of the problems in church. You've got a lot of people who are sincere but wrong. Yeah, you got a lot of good, godly people who are so sincere, but they just as wrong as two left shoes on the same feet. Yeah. They need some help. And a lot of times people, they talk about them rather than going to them in Christian love and setting them down and taking the time in the scriptures. Amen. 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 Take some time in the scriptures. And that's one reason why you need to know your Bible.
Amen.
Because if you ain't careful, people, particularly those that have a lot of zeal and a lot of passion, the next thing, and sound good, the next thing you know, you following them, you jumping on board. But you got to know your Bible for yourself so that you can call them over and say, no, what about this here? What about, and show them what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. All right, so we see that this man, Apollos, boy, he was an elegant man. And let me tell you, some folks who are elegant, they go, an elegant person always have an audience. Did you hear what I said? If a person can speak well, oh, folks going to listen to a person that speaks well, even though they don't know what they're talking about. But because they can speak well, Lord, don't let them put a little education. Lord, have mercy. And have a high, sophisticated vocabulary. Lord, have mercy. You can be, a person can run a sentence together, two and three sentences with just big words, and you hear people say, wow, go ahead and preach, say it. And you ask them, now, what did he say? I don't know, but he was saying it, child. He was saying it. Don't bit much, no. I'll never forget, I went to church once. Me and my mom went to church there in Atlanta, and they had brought this guest speaker in at this church. And man, this guy, for the first 35 minutes of his sermon, he had it way up here. I'll never forget, me and my mom, we were sitting there, and my mom, she hunched me. She said, Timmy, he said, Is you understanding what he's saying? I said, Mama, I got a doctorate degree and I don't know what that man talked about. Hey, and half the congregation was, say that, preacher. I said, Mama, they don't even know either. They don't know, I got a doctorate. Amen. But now he spent 30 to about 40 minutes of that sermon way up here and talking about, you know, Bookmong and, you know, all the different scholars and what have you. I mean, he had it way up here. And his last 15 minutes, he came out of that pulpit and boy, and he preached like an old-fashioned preacher. I said, now, he should have done that from the start. I didn't think he could do nothing. I mean, he done put half the congregation to sleep, those that sat kind of towards the back where I was, and most of them had went on to sleep. Amen. Them up at the front where he was looking at, they got to, you know, exercise a little bit. Get some exercise in. Amen. See, that's what you have to do sometimes when you had a born, when a pastor, a preacher is born you. Sometimes to keep from going to sleep, you have to stand up. Amen. You have to just stand up and get a little exercise in. Amen. To keep from going to sleep. Amen. See, he may think, see that may make him think that he's preaching good, so he may start coming on with it now. Amen. You need to stand up. Stand up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, look here at chapter 19. The Bible says, beginning with verse number 1, and it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, so Apollos now done went to Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to where? Ephesus. And found some disciples and said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Mm. And he said unto them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, they was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, these brothers thought they were saved, but they wasn't saved. They thought they were saved, but they wasn't saved. Who was it that preached to them?
John the Baptist.
No, it wasn't John the Baptist that preached to them. Who was it that been to Ephesus?
Apollos
had been to Ephesus. And remember, Apollos had been to Ephesus. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching there in the church, there in the synagogue, they said, wait a minute. This guy, I mean, he's saying some stuff, but he ain't quite right. And they had to take him aside and get him right. But think about it. What he had already done messed up. He already done messed up. So Paul just happened to bump into some folks that Apollos done messed up. Mm-hmm. They thought they were saved, but once they, see, that's the thing. You can go to church and you can listen to a preacher that can really preach, but he ain't preaching the right thing. Mm-hmm. You can think that you're saved, but you ain't even saved.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. All because the preacher. See, that's why it's so important that you make sure that you are following somebody who know the truth.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. See, you can find people that can speak well a dime a dozen. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Our community is full of them. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I done been to some little country churches, and boy, you can hear some of these guys get up and talk. I mean, just 5 minutes, boy, they can set a church on fire. They got a lot of fire. They got a lot of zeal, but ain't even got a bit of knowledge on them. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
I mean, but the church, amen, ooh, sad preacher. I said, Lord, have mercy. I wish I could have a rope to pull him back over him.
Amen.
Particularly when you go into these little areas like East Texas and stuff. I'm going somewhere. See, you know, you already know, because you done came from there. That's why many of us don't want to go back, because we done been. Hello, somebody. Amen. When you go to, like, you know, East Texas, y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. Look down in the country, Louisiana, those brothers, they have a measure of truth. Yeah. See, the majority, keep in mind, the majority of pastors don't have formal training. Mm-hmm. They had never been to no Bible college or a seminary. And one of the reasons is, because that may be, take for instance, like in Mississippi, it may be one or two seminaries in the whole state of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So if you live, let's say, down towards the coast or something like that, you're going to either have to go 100 and some miles over to New Orleans or 150 miles up to Jackson. You see? And it's already rough on you. Hello, somebody. It's already, you're trying to make ends meet. And so how are you going to pay for your schooling?
Right.
Hello. And you at a lit church where you are having to prop up the church with your lit salary. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, y'all done been at Bible way too long. That's bad. A crowd like this here, folks never get excited about having this on a Sunday morning. Lord have mercy. Yeah. So a lot of ministers, they mean well. And they're doing the best that they can do. I'll never forget. I started my ministry. Received my calling in October 1984. Preached my first sermon the second Sunday of November 1984. Preached my first sermon. Preached my second sermon in the second Sunday in December of 1984. And I wish that I had went to school before I preached that second sermon. Because when I preached that second sermon, I reached and grabbed a text over in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. And I talked about how John saw a number that no man could number. And I said, don't you want to be in that number? Don't you want to be? Boy, the congregation was saying, yeah, I want to be in that number. Boy, I had them shouting, y'all. Woo! Lord have mercy. And after church was over with, my pastor called me over. And he opened the Bible and said, you quoted, you referred to a text. Let me show you that text you referred to. And he said, now that text there is in the Great Tribulation period. And you ask these folks, do they want to be in that number? Tribulation. And you had them saying, yeah! No, they don't want to be in that. You don't even want to be in that. And my wife had told me, you need to go to school. And I said, I know my Bible. And he had told me, you need to go to school. But after he showed me that, I said, now what school you say? Because I don't need no more mess up. That was an honest mistake. I said, Lord, have mercy. I feel, ooh, wee. And that showed me how you can have zeal, but no knowledge. You need to go. You need to take the time and go and prepare yourself. Amen. And study. Because what you may think is good, even you may even heard somebody else. I don't know if I heard another preacher say that. But sometimes we preach what we've done heard somebody else say. But man, I sure messed up on that. Amen. 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 And so these 12 disciples here in Ephesus, these people thought they were saved, but they didn't even have no Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do you see? They didn't even have no Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that in verse number 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying, and there were in all about 12 men. 12 men. So Paul laid hands on them. Now, I praise God for how God fixed this. God could have easily let these men go out half cocked, but what God did, God brought Paul in there. Now, why did God have Paul to lay hands on? And then they got the Holy Ghost like that. Because, see, that's not the normal way that you get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You normally just get the Holy Ghost, you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, then you receive the Holy Spirit after you believe. Amen. And then you go get baptized. You see? Why did God allow Paul to lay hands on them? Then they got the Holy Spirit. But not only did they get the Holy Spirit, they got even the evidence of speaking in tongues. What God was showing, he was trying to stamp his approval on the Apostle Paul's ministry. Remember, he did the same thing for Peter. Remember that? Over on the day of Pentecost. After Peter preached, the people, they believed, and they received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Same thing when they went over to Acts chapter 8. They believed, but God didn't give them the Holy Spirit at Samaria until Peter showed up. Remember that? Then in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, when him and his family got saved, who was it? It was Peter. Peter preached to them. They believed. They received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Then when these men, when they finally got it right, God used Paul. And God showed his approval for Paul's ministry. Because from this point on, you won't read about Peter. You're going to be reading about Paul. And so God is going to do a great work in this city of Ephesus. But he's going to use this event as the groundwork to get the word out. That Paul got some power. Amen. All right. So we see that these 12 ignorant disciples now keep in mind, I'm not using that in a negative way. I'm using that in a dignified way. The word ignorant there just basically means lack of knowledge. And you got a lot of people in church that lacks knowledge.
Amen.
Yeah. And so we got these 12 ignorant disciples, but they're no longer.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the study that you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinthebook.com. Again, that is alookinthebook.com. And come by and visit us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bobaway Community Baptist Church. And remember, until next time, take a deeper look in the book.